I'm Adam. If you don't know me, it's cool. Blacklight on Facebook. I'm not here to get into who I am. I'm just here to facilitate real quick, because Chris would usually be doing this.
That's right.
That's the problem. See, Chris is in jail, and he'd usually be doing this. So I'm like an old facilitator from like the first 3 months. So I'm jumping back in just to help out real quick and talk about it. So we're gonna have just about 2-3 speakers real quick. Talk about why we're here, what we're doing, and all that good stuff. So Lale is first.
Okay, so first of all, for anyone who doesn't know, the most important news to share is that Chris is gonna be free tonight. Right? And obviously that's why we are all here, which is a beautiful thing, and he knows it. Today in court, he knows this. And we're here together tonight, obviously, we're here in solidarity with Chris, but also in solidarity with the family of Alan Bluford, and in solidarity with all of the people that face police violence in this city every single day, right? And Chris is sitting in Santa Rita jail right now, and he's spent, at this point, about 48 hours there. And the question is, what is Chris's crime, right? And now, just to give you an update, now they're saying Chris's crime is disturbing the peace. Right. We know that that's just the legal cover, right? We know that Chris's real crime is that he speaks truth to power. And all of us here tonight, all of us who know him, who love him, know that wherever Chris goes, that damn megaphone goes with him. And whenever any one of us is attacked, or anyone in this community is attacked, Chris is there with that megaphone speaking truth to power. And that's why Chris was in that church on Wednesday, right? To stand up for Alan Bluford and to speak truth in the face of Howard Jordan's lies. Right? And what I should say is in the face of Howard Jordan's lies. Because what happened on Wednesday was the most cowardly form of repression. And that community meeting was a disgusting charade. And Jordan's thugs kill yet another black man in this city, and he gets to walk into that church and spew those lies. Jordan gets to completely control the format of that community dialogue. He controls what questions got asked, what answers were given, and in fact, he was the only one allowed to actually speak, right? All questions had to be submitted in written cards so that Jordan's voice was the only voice allowed to ring out in that church that day.
Fuck you!
And that's precisely why Chris's crime was so intolerable, right?
Oh, Pastor Bastard!
And Jordan got to decide when that meeting was over. And Jordan had a gang of thugs to escort him out of that building. And numerous police officers dispatched there, batons out and ready. He gets full control of that meeting, full control of a massive police force with all its, quote, tools of violence. And what does he do? He sends his thugs out to chase a young black man who embarrassed him by simply speaking truth. By daring to let his voice ring out in that church, and by daring to disrupt that charade. And so they arrest him. And they originally charged him with battery on an officer and assault with a deadly weapon, which is a strikable felony offense, right? And the DA today explained in court that charge was filed because the cop's ear hurt from Chris's microphone. I'm not kidding. And it's that what the fuck that had him now in Santa Rita for these 2 days on a $105,000 bail.
Right?
Awesome. Okay, it's a free Chris.
anything with such flagrantly bullshit charges, right? So they couldn't file those charges, and instead, when we finally get to court today, they filed only this minor disturbing the peace charge, which they're now trying to use to revoke his probation. So I call him Coward Jordan because he's got full control of that meeting and an entire police force at his disposal, and he goes after Chris for his megaphone, and he doesn't even have the decency to do it right then and there at the church, but he has his goons do it later. And it's ironic to me that all this happens in a church, right? Because for me, this story, it recalls the story of David and Goliath, right? And Goliath Jordan may have his armed thugs in his jails, but just like David had his slingshot, Chris has his megaphone. And that is why Chris is dear to so many of us, right? He stands as a young man who shows us every day that no matter how they target him, no matter how many times they falsely arrest him, no matter how many days he's spent in jail, and no matter how they try to terrorize him by chasing him down with their snatch and grabs, he just keeps picking up that megaphone and coming back out. David eventually slayed Goliath with that slingshot. And tonight, Chris will be back with us as we slay Coward Jordan and this fucking despicable system that he stands for. And yo, we should take a minute, especially as times have gotten hard, and recognize ourselves as a community, right? And look around right now, and for those of you who couldn't be with us today because you had to work, that courtroom was packed. And as I said earlier, Chris looked out and saw that. And once that bail was reduced, we raised that bond in literally minutes. Minutes I can count on one hand. Out of our hard-earned contributions. And much more was offered, right? And look at us out here tonight. Right? Look at us out here tonight. And tonight, I hope that what we're going to do, and this is one thing we're going to talk about, what we want to do tonight, but I hope that many of us can get out to Santa Rita.
Yeah.
And pack the front of that jail.
Yeah.
And informants, media, whoever, let them know we are coming. Right? And Chris is going to walk out tonight to a sea of love and support and solidarity. And so, this strategy of repression, if their aim is to intimidate us, and if it is to wear us down and to demoralize us, to divide us, let them see us tonight, right? Free Chris, and justice for Alan Bluford.
I'm gonna talk real quick because I was there at the church, and one thing that I saw that they say that Chris hurt the cops' ears. I think they hurt the cops' pride. I think he hurt his pride. I think they hurt his feet. I think Chris hurt that pig's feelings. I mean, if that pig got feelings, that's what he did, right? Because that pig got some hurt feelings, don't make up any motherfucking excuse to arrest you. Because he didn't ever touch him. He wasn't even alone the whole time he's at the church. He wasn't alone the whole time he walked down to the parking lot. He was around people the entire time. Everybody knows Chris didn't touch none of those pigs. They made that up, talking about, oh, our ears hurt. The ears hurt because the truth hurts. The truth hurts when you defend a murderer. The truth hurts when you stand up against it, when you stand up for injustice and act like you're the right man because they in blue. Because the people in blue are the biggest gang in California. They're the biggest gang in America. The police union has so much power, we can't even confirm what cop killed Alan Bluford. I bet we couldn't even confirm what cop arrested Chris right now because the police union says we can't find out. Being citizens of this United States of America, we can't find out who murdered somebody, who shot a man in the back three times and then shot himself to cover it up, and we can't find out his name and can't have that confirmed? That ain't that. I mean, that America's supposed to be the land of the free, home of the brave. That's a motherfucking illusion.
We know
it ain't been the land of the free and the home of the brave. The brave was stepped on by the colonizers. The indigenous was stepped on when the folks got off them boats. They start killing people, and they ain't never stopped.
That's right.
Woo! Right now, we're gonna ask Sharia to come up. We're gonna ask Sri to speak.
Yes.
Then we're gonna look for Jack. Jack, there you are. And Chris's mom, I hope, will speak. I don't know if she will.
His name is Miguel Masso.
It's not confirmed.
Oh, whatever. It is for now, isn't it?
So. The arresting officer of Chris, his name is Sergeant Beer. And Beer has served in Iraq, and Beer was in Fallujah. And so if any of you know anything about Fallujah, it saw some of the most violent destruction of the U.S. armed forces in Iraq. There are, they use white phosphorus and other kinds of chemical warfare, and it is left behind a barrage of birth defects. And this is not just like in the human population, it's also in the animal population. Like, they've just really sort of decimated, like a Hiroshima, they've just decimated a city. And there's something about that metaphor that really speaks to what's happening here in Oakland. And this officer that shot Alan Bluford, the name that's been leaked may or may not be, but that name is attributed, if you do a Google search, it's attributed to two incidences. Now, I can't confirm these, but one incident with the same name is that they served in Iraq in 2003. The other incident is that they were deployed to Afghanistan, Kandahar, in 2009. So what we're starting to see is a pattern. It's not just that our police forces are militarized with tanks and non-lethal projectiles like weapons and things, they are actually staffed by ex-military. And so, you know, when we also look out at the trends that a lot of ex-military, what the veterans have gone through, they don't really have a lot of services. They've been through extraordinarily stressful situations. Most of them have done horrendous, horrendous things. It's very difficult to deal with that in your own psyche. They come here, they get on a civilian police force, and they go out into the communities. So all over America, we get this kind of racist behavior, but it's not all just PTSD, because we've had this racist police behavior in this country for as long as we've had police. So I also want to say, you know, today I was at the courthouse, and I counted the seats. There were something like 70 seats, and every single one of them was someone from Occupy Oakland. And the judge, you know, I think the judge, because when you sit in these courtrooms, it's extremely painful, especially someone, for me, as that's experienced an extraordinary amount of white privilege. It is so painful for me to sit in there and listen to what these kinds of charges. So there was an African-American man. He just spent something like 48 hours at Santa Rita because he had a citation in 2009 for riding his bike on the sidewalk. And he had a citation for his bike not having lights. 48 hours in Santa fucking Rita.
Fuck that!
So, I think, you know, but the court system, in a sense, is used to being able to intimidate people because not everyone has a family that is going to speak out, come to a city council and speak out, and not everyone is part of a movement that's got your back and is going to come and fill a courtroom. He was absolutely shocked when he gave the verdict and, you know, whatever, it was all finished, and everybody got up and walked out. So, thanks for coming out tonight.
Free Chris!
All right, up next we're gonna bring on our brother Jack Bryson to talk a little bit about Alan Bluford and what brought on a lot of the incident that got Chris arrested in the first place.
Hello.
Yeah, guys, keep doing.
There you go.
This is, I don't know, this is kind of hard. This is kind of hard to speak about. I was just talking to the father earlier, and me and Lala, we spoke to the cousin earlier. She called, and she said that, you know, she feels bad for Chris and that the family...
We cannot hear you!
Stop, Lala.
Come closer.
No, sorry, I'm just, I don't like speaking. But, you know, she even offered, the family even offered, if they don't accept it, they offered some money for Chris's bail, but they're already grieving. And they really appreciate what everyone's doing for them. And this is just so hard because, like, I'm a father, I got two sons, and I swear to God, I couldn't sit back. It was, man, to see what that father and that mother's going through, it's just hard. It's like 3 years later, it's to see what Oscar Grant's mother went through and Oscar Grant's family went through. And this family is grieving. This son meant the world to them. I mean, this mother and father were tight with their son, you know. And, you know, they can't believe that he's gone. Just like my sons and Oscar Grant's friends, they're at the gravesite every weekend, every day. They're there till 3-4 in the morning because they still can't believe that Oscar is gone. And this family cannot still believe that their son is gone. And all I'm just saying is, like, if we could just support them in any type of form or fashion. You know, this is cold. I just got back from New York. How many of you heard of Romarty Graham? Romarty Graham was an 18-year-old young man that went in a house, and the police followed him, and they kicked the door in, and they shot him in front of his mother, his grandmother, and his niece. They shot him in front of the whole family while he was sitting in the bathroom. And then a police officer turned around and said, well, I thought he was reaching for a gun. This is the same excuse. We can't be going. There's over 10, since 1976 to 2005, there's been over 10,000 young black men killed by white police officers. And the excuse is, I thought he was reaching for a gun.
Move!
We gotta keep...
Stop thinking.
Fuck the police!
Yeah, right. And then, you know, another thing we gotta work on, they keep talking about outside agitators. Well, a few broken windows or a few stores being kicked in by some outside agitators, that's cool. But the outside agitators are the police, and they're coming in here killing people. I'd rather have a few broken windows. At first I was against it, now I stopped thinking, like, damn, they're tripping off a few broken windows being broke or some businesses being damaged. But when it comes to murdering, when these outside agitators, let's really look at it. All the police officers that have been killing these young men have been white, young men have been black. And when we find out where these police officers live, they're not even from Oakland. And you're asking police officers that were taught hatred, and I would imagine their Sunday dinners, and then you're asking them to come in to a community that they've been taught by racism, and then you're giving them a gun and a badge to come into the community that they've been taught to hate. What the fuck do you think is gonna happen? What's going on now? And that's all over the United States. Since Trayvon Martin's been killed, it's been 30-some young men after Trayvon been killed. It's been 30 young men killed by police officers. After the Oscar Grant video, it's been almost 100. So they're not getting the message. So, we still gotta keep organizing. We still gotta make something happen. And we keep saying we should be going to protest and argue, put up our protests against. We gotta break that police union down, because it's the police union that is protecting these police officers.
Borak.
We gotta start doing something to fight that Bill of Rights. You can put Oscar Grant, Sean Bell, Trayvon Martin on trial, or you could put Alan Bluford on trial, and they could come out and do the character assassination, but the Bill of Rights makes sure that nothing happens to these police officers. You can't say nothing about them. But if we could pull out their records, I bet a lot of them would have murders, a lot of them would have assaults, a lot of them would have, and these are the people that they want to continue to patrol our streets. We can't have that no more. Thank you.
What about our Bill of Rights? First Amendment.
First of all, I'm going to say fuck the police for real, because that's how I really fucking feel. You know what I mean? That's how I really feel. If it was the police officer right here, I would really show them how I really feel, because I can't be angry at y'all. But what I can say is that the system is fucked and we got to continue to fight it in a progressive way, and we got to be assertive, aggressive. You know? And this is not the only family that's lost someone. There's a families that are calling out to us. Lori Davis, Raheem Brown's mother, has been calling for us. The Stockton, James Rivera's family is calling out for us. And we got to keep fighting for everybody, you know? And not just in Oakland, you know? We need to go out. Stockton is calling on the 31st. Right now, we got reserves for 2 buses, okay? We got reserves for 2 buses, you know? We're going to continue to take this fight out into the United States, the whole country. You know what I'm saying? We got Palestine to fight for. We got Syria to fight for. We got Libya to fight for. We got Egypt to fight for. You know? This is Oakland, you know what I'm saying? And we need to continue to fight and take the fight international. We need to make this a human violation that's being done. You know? This does not need to stay out here in the United States. We need to take it up further. We need to take it on global stage, like they say. You know? Because this is inhumane. You know? This is inhumane. I mean, I can't even walk down the street in my block and hang with my homies because the police are going to jump out on us. You know, just the other day I was at the plaza. The police came up to a bunch of young black men, handcuffed this young black man, you know, and because the identification was a black man with dreadlocks and a baseball cap. They went up there, handcuffed him, and he was with his buddies. Walked him up to 14th from Broadway, and then the victim tells him that's not him. So immediately they're supposed to let him go, you know. But no, that's not what happened. They asked him for his ID and ran a check on him. But afterwards, I told him, you know, you need to make a complaint about this. But he told me, nah, it's okay.
No.
Not okay.
And I was so angry, not at the police anymore, but angry at the fact of our own conditioning, and we need to change our conditioning and our thought. When the police come and handcuff us and then let us go, that is not okay to us.
Not okay.
Not okay. When they come and terrorize us here, that is not okay.
No!
When they are walking around those neighborhoods and pulling over and in front of the drugstores, it doesn't matter if those people are selling drugs. If you see them selling drugs, then do it for that. But if they're just out there in the neighborhood, don't make an assumption that person is selling drugs or out there committing a crime, just like Alan Bruford. Just like Alan Bruford was just an assumption, a young black man hanging out on the corner, and they wanted to make an identification with him whether he's selling drugs or not. That's the truth. It's the profiling that when young black men hang out at night, when they came out of their house on the front of their porch, they're still guilty. We need to change that.
All right, so we're going to open it up. If people out there have something that they want to add, a story that they need to tell, I wanted to let the community speak a little bit first before we start talking about what's going to jump off next. So anybody who needs to, come right on up. We're going to try and keep it on the shorter side, limited to only about a minute or so. Because we do really want to get out to Rita and see Chris and welcome him out and cheer for him as he walks out those doors and let him know that we love him.
Yeah. Okay, you're after that.
Thank you all for coming out tonight for Chris. I'm going to talk about a couple of reasons why we're here tonight. This world is really, really fucked up right now. And Chris is speaking out. Chris sees it and he speaks his mind. Loudly and proudly and with strength and courage that I've never seen in another human being before. He is the most inspiring person that I've ever seen in my whole life. Watching him say fuck the police every Saturday night at the top of his lungs changed me as a person. 3 weeks ago, I screamed fuck the police at the top of my lungs on Saturday night. And it felt incredible. Fuck the fucking police. Chris did jack shit. And they came and snatched him out of a fucking parking lot and took him off to jail as a political prisoner. Because he speaks his mind.
I just want to know too, guys, that she's wearing.
If you saw Chris yelling in front of the federal building the other day about marijuana, yell right now, really loud. Woo! That was something else, wasn't it?
I really want to stay away from Ritty.
If you saw Chris say fuck the police on a Saturday night and it inspired you, yell really loud right now.
Yeah. Woo!
Fuck the police!
Fuck the police! Chris is gonna hear us from here! Chris, where are you right now, buddy? You're sitting in Santa Rita? Huh?
He's on his way home!
He's on his way home! Chris is coming home right now! Chris knows we're standing here! Thank you for coming out for Chris! Come out to things that Chris promotes. He's an amazing person. Thank you so much.
Hey guys, so I wanted to speak because once I found out that Chris got arrested, I pretty much screamed fuck the police and punched the fuck out of my steering wheel while I was in my car. Because I can tell you that I am becoming more and more and more involved because of the fact that Chris and Melvin were one of the two people that I met at Occupy Oakland, and they were two of the most welcoming faces. And as I followed and watched what they were doing in this community and joined them in the Fuck the Police marches, I realized that if these two men at half of my age can do this, then I definitely can fucking do this. So to Melvin and to Chris, I want to thank them for getting me involved and motivating me and inspiring me to stand up for what we know is right and what we believe in and what we're passionate about, because there's nothing wrong with that. And if the cops want to keep trying to silence us by putting us in jail and shutting us up, what they need to realize is all it does is wake us up more and rise us up more. And I encourage all of you to speak your stories. When I got arrested last Monday at Berkeley for the form, when I went to replace my phone and the lady asked me, what's the reason for your upgrade? I told her because the cops broke it. That sparked a conversation, and I told her the entire struggle that we've been having as a movement, and not just us, but anyone who's targeted for an arrest for any reason. We need to tell our stories, we need to get people involved and see the real truth behind the lies that are out there that the police are covering up and that the MSM is helping them to cover up. Smearing our names, smearing the ice cream free and making them all look like hate crime. Fuck that, fuck the police, fuck the MSM, and fuck the system.
We've been facing violence from the Oakland Police Department since, I don't know, before I was born, and that's for sure. But one thing that's becoming blatantly obvious is that dissent, as in my opinion, is no longer even tolerated. They're not even concerned with putting up the facade that we have democracy anymore. I wasn't at the thing at Expo Gospel because I didn't even hear about it. It was so under-advertised. Mm-hmm. I would have loved a chance to be there and hear that shit and call Howard Jordan a fucking punk and a liar to his face. Would have loved it. So I applaud Chris for doing that. But I also want to say that I was out here a lot of the times doing FTP with Chris when it was 10 people and 5 of them were streamers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay? I love that we're here now, but it matters every day.
Yep.
I've been sitting in my room crying because I thought I was alone, because I didn't believe it was anybody that was willing to fight. I can say a lot of things about Chris, but one of them for sure is that he is always willing to fight. And regardless if we get into it, he got my back. He'll always remember that the police was the enemy first. So we need to stop infighting on Facebook and Twitter. I can't say it enough.
Yes.
We get along face to face. Then we get on the internet and start tripping. That's why, Chris, you can't get in contact with him through Facebook and Twitter, if any of y'all realize that.
Fuck Facebook.
He don't even like getting on the shit because we fight so much. The same person who always is not only willing to risk going to jail, but does go to jail. Helping the same homeless people that we leave on 14th and Broadway and 19th and Telegraph when we go home. I leave them too. So I went out and cussed city council out. Y'all my family, I don't want to cuss at y'all. I really don't want to cuss at y'all, but we gotta do better. I keep saying I don't want to live in this world because people are willing to stand by and just let the police fucking kill us. Even if you don't have a job, if you're buying fucking water, if you're paying any sort of taxes, we are paying them to kill us. Then we pay the lawsuit. We pay it. They don't give a fuck. It's all on us. Then they turn the citizens against us. It's people at city council that live in the uptown apartments that would rather the police gas us than face the truth. Yeah. I say we don't forget about the other parts of Oakland. We've been West Oakland. We've been downtown. I'm from East Oakland. It bothers me when the police keep coming and killing the people in my community. And nobody does anything but sit in the church and fucking cry. I'm tired of this shit. You should be too. Woo! Woo! Woo!
Hey, how everybody doing today? My name is Melvin Kelly. Chris is a very good friend of mine. I remember when I first like came to Occupy, he was like inside this tent thing that he had built, and like he was barbecuing, giving out free burgers and shit. And I'm like, bro, what you doing? He's like, you know, man, I'm just, you know, feeding the community. It was just hella funny. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, what the fuck? So, we just in a tent and we kicking it, smoking hella weed. You know, like we was just doing that for a week. A couple of weeks just in, meeting hella new people. And then the police raided. And it was like, fuck, our whole just everything changed. And then like we was kicking it, doing everything, you know, keeping it lit. And then it got serious because we went to 18th and Linden together. And like after 19th and Telegraph, we had took 18th and Linden. And it was just like, we just really started fucking with it, and like that nigga, man, he came a long way, and like he got a lot of like he got the good heart, and so like it's good that a lot of people came out here to support him. He deserves it. He does a lot. He really goes out his way for a lot of other people too. And like how he said, he's like he's willing to get arrested. When I talked to him on the phone, he was like, "You don't have to bail me out. I'll do my time." That's some real
that.
Shit. For real though, that's some real shit. Yeah though, Chris, that's my nigga though. Yeah, and like all the infighting need to stop and all that weird shit need to stop. Chris supports people being masked up and you know, he supports autonomy. So like, we must remember that we all out here together. Cause with Chris, if this is like really like for Chris, he wouldn't care who came or how you acted. He wants everybody to go beast. For real, he wants everybody to go beast.
Just gonna take.
We're just gonna take a couple more speakers because we want to kind of wrap this up pretty soon, so we'll just take a few more.
So I want to say to everyone, all power to the people. All power to the people, and you have it if you believe it. So my story with Chris is a little bit shorter than Melvin's. I met him at 10th and Mandela, and this was after we took over a house. And I met him during a time when he was, Berkeley Occupied had been raided. And he physically went out of his way to get people to come into that house at 10th and Mandela and care for them. And even after things got rough and people had to leave, he cared for them again. So this is a guy who has a sense of humanity and a sense of helping people. So when I met him, he was sick. He was taking food that he had, and he was giving away to people who didn't have food. And he was starving by doing this. Chris and Melvin are the first two men I've met in my life, beside my sons, who literally felt like family to me.
What about me?
And there are people who, if you listen to them, if you really listen to them, have a political message that goes beyond screwing the police. It's a bigger message about this humanity, if you listen to it.
You don't have to listen that hard.
Jason died.
So, for people who are here, I would just say that support Chris, not extracurricularly, but support them in your house and take it back to your neighborhoods. And if you show up here once a week or once a month or so, make sure that the lessons you learn here go into your own neighborhoods, resonate within your own families, within the office of city council, within the police department. The police department, in many ways, are just pawns in this bigger game. There are things that can be done that can alter the system, beginning with banks and lobbyists and politicians who kiss their behinds. And if we attack the true enemy first, the police will fall into place. So all power to the people.
Fuck the police!
Fuck the police!
Hello there.
Hello, my name is Dennis Nguyen. I'm a recent UC Davis graduate.
Dennis, thanks to you!
I've been participating with the Occupy Oakland since the beginning, major event in General Assembly. I came here right after work. I took Bart out here to be part of this because I want to show solidarity, right? Yeah, but then I seen a few people taking pictures of me and other people and calling us undercover. And I feel really uncomfortable being here right now. If y'all don't want me to be here, I would be happy to leave and take the Bart back home.
Stay, Bart.
That's all I gotta say.
Okay, excuse me. Okay.
I got a couple things to say about OPD. I don't know if they'd be new to some of you. I've been doing a lot of research. I've been looking up a lot of stuff. One of the main things that OPD is aimed at is getting this town ready for real estate developers, for corporate people who are moving block by block through Oakland, and the police are working directly with them.
Yes.
Captain Toribio sat down with these, they call them BIDs, Business Investment Districts. The city has handed over the ability to hire security, to do landscaping, to do hardscaping to these people. And they have sat down with the police to find out what kind of construction will send homeless people away from 13th and Broadway. Not homes. What kind of construction will make them go somewhere else so they can develop 13th and Broadway? That's their next target. This has been going on a long time. They want us gone because we are not commercial. I want you to know that. And what the gentleman just said about getting to these corporate people and to these corporations and blowing this open is real important. When I was in the commune in November, I was visited by a young man from Israel who had come here to check out things. He went to several OPD. He started out the conversations by sort of commiserating with them about the element that they had to deal with around here, and they jumped on it. They were so happy to talk about how they're cleaning up the streets, how they are getting rid of unproductive people. And that is, it's part of the whole plan. And we got sergeants in OPD that have been doing this for years. We've got new people in OPD and they're going right along with it. I got a chance to yell at Howard Jordan last week. I don't remember what I said. I was so pissed off.
You said something, anyway, that's all that counts.
Yeah. Well, it's nothing more than a third world military. There's no oversight on these people. There's no oversight. They're not going to do anything the courts tell them to do because they don't fucking have to. Yeah. Nobody's making them. We have to make them do that. We have to get to them. We need a whole enema. That whole department just needs a big fucking enema. But without that, the community needs to demand community needs to demand they stop killing people. They behave and they serve and protect. So talk to anybody you need to know. Tell them what you learn. Tell them what you know. Tell everybody. All right? We're the first people. We're the ones that have experienced this lately. Okay, but it's been going on for decades. I'm sorry, I'm talking too much, but remember all these things. Tell people, because the whole community has to get down on OPD and clean them up. Yeah.
I'm here because I want to say that Chris has been an inspiration to me, and I know he's been an inspiration to absolutely everybody standing out here. This young man has spent his life in this community facing the police repression that many of us are newly exposed to, and he is still so full of love and light and humanity that he should be an example to each and every one of us. I also want to remind people that Alan Bluford is not a statistic. He was a human being. He was a life. He had a future. And that is gone because OPD took it away. OPD took it from him. OPD took him from his family. He is not a statistic. And the community needs to rise up and say, no more coming into our streets and killing our citizens. They can't be allowed to keep using our tax dollars to fund the murder of the people who live in our community. This has to stop. And it's going to take every single one of us and everybody that we can talk to about it to make it stop. Please, please spread the word. Be supportive of Alan Bluford. Thank you for coming out to support Chris. I love you all.
How many people are familiar with the term keep it 100? Show of hands, twinkle fingers, whatever. Not too many. I'll break it down for you. Keeping it 100 is exactly what we're talking about, Chris. Telling 100% truth. When someone says keep it 100, that means tell the fucking truth, 100%. I was arrested with Chris at 10th and Mandela. Tat was at 18th and Linden. They're trying to do a lot of beautiful things, feed the people, house people. And there were issues with every single one of those occupations, those attempts. So I keep it 100 all the time. I was with Chris yesterday at Acts 4 Gospel Church, side by side, while everything was going down. I was an agitator as well, a very vocal person in the face of Howard Jordan, in the face of Sergeant Bolton. And I'm not really doing it for applause. That's just what I do. I mean, I'm from here. And so when I do it, I'm going to keep it 100. And when I do it with tact. I do it with discipline. And I get my point across. You're going to know exactly what I'm saying when I'm saying it to you. I'm not telling you not to say fuck the police, but expand your vocabulary. Okay? You can do it a whole lot better, and you can get your point across the same way. You can get right up in a cop's face, say what you have to say to him, mean it, stand your ground, okay? Because I'm going to keep it 100. A lot of you cats run, okay? So I want the ones that are going to stand their ground, be articulate with your anger, okay? Have structure with your movements. Have tactics. I know a lot of people wouldn't care that Tully's is gone. I do.
I do. Me too.
They probably couldn't afford their insurance because all of the yes, vandalism is a very solid form of protest. No doubt about it. But where do you go? What do you do? Have a tactic, have a target that really means something in regards to this movement against the 1%. I'm talking to everybody, damn it. Now, right now, I'm talking to you. Have a tactic. Have a specific place of where you go and what you do. Okay? Because I'm very specific. I know where I want to go and what I'm going to do. I'm specific with the cops.
I'll go right to whoever's face. If Musa was right here, I'd probably drop him right now. No doubt about it. Not fuck the police, I'm dropping you. Okay? So let's start training. Let's start having some fundamentals. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. It'll make the movement a whole lot stronger.
They steal our tactics, let's take theirs.
Well, you know what? Let's be smarter about our tactics, bro. Because a lot of cats, I don't even really know what you're built for. And I'm gonna keep that 100. So if you're built for the movement, it means a diversity of tactics like young Chris, Melvin, Julian, like they all did. Burger King, you guys all remember that? Burger King? Chris went in front of Burger King serving them wholesome organic food. Okay? That's one right there. 18th and Linden, 10th and Mandela. Constant strikes everywhere throughout the town. That meant something. That meant something. So Chris is my dude. He's a youngster. I stay in his ear to ensure that you don't get caught up. Make sure that every step you make, everything that you do means something. Because you might be behind bars or you might be dead, period.
Hello, comrades. Now we gonna have to get up into this, y'all. Where are my comrades at? I love y'all guys. Where y'all at? Now we came out here for a specific reason. I ain't gonna preach to y'all too long, but they call me. I happen to go by the name of Reverend T.D. Occupy. So tonight we gonna get this up for Chris. You know, free my brother Chris. I want y'all to give her. We gonna get a about face here. We got a little bit of an invitation over there to the piggies. We gonna get a about face over there, and we gonna give them a big hell yeah, fuck you.
Fuck you.
Now, the reason we say fuck the police is the reason that our brother is on the other side of the walls where we sure do not want to be. Now, my brother changed my life. You may not know Chris like I know this young man, but this young man got a lot of talent. I said this young man got a lot of potential. I say this young man changed a lot of lives. But instead, they want to sit here, beat his ass, and lie. And say this man has assaulted a peace officer. Well, how fucking peaceful were ya? I say how fucking peaceful were ya to see this warrior that was fighting on the other side because his little brother and sister school was getting closed down. Because his little brother and sister couldn't go to the library like he and his friends could and get a proper education. Do they understand why it took a couple of young men to start a committee called the Technical Action Committee? Can I get a amen? Yes, he was a man. I said, we need an hallelujah on that one. Hallelujah. Now on that hallelujah, we're going to have to say this. Everybody out here for a reason. We all in the same boat. We know that everybody that steps on a boat don't mean that you can swim. But if you try, you might make it back to the shore. So we want to be for sure that our brother is coming back home on shore. Even though they want to throw him starboard over the side of the deck. We don't give a fuck. We say, free at last, free at last. From the Okanagan Pond, police, kiss our ass.
We got a real special guest tonight. Chris's mom is here. She just wants to say a few words to her. Show her a lot of love, show her a lot of support.
If they don't get kicked,
it's the woman who gave us Chris!
How y'all doing? Can y'all hear me?
You guys hear me? Yeah.
How you guys doing this evening?
Great.
Well, we don't have a red blowhorn at home, but we do have an extra blue one if anybody wants to borrow it for tonight. This is really amazing.
Oh no, we can't.
You guys saw me out here. I just want to thank each and every last one of you for all your support, for all the love, for everything that you guys do as far as the Occupy movement is concerned. When the Occupy movement first started, Christopher was not a part of that. And it was really the mark of something really extraordinary and really big, even before Christopher was your comrade, and that is what I truly do believe. And since Christopher has been in the Occupy, it seems like more people have come together. I would have never thought that so many different people, young people, old people, girls that's from the hood, you know what I mean? Not to be disrespectful to anyone, but I would have never imagined anything as beautiful as this. And for everyone who came to court today, I want to tell you thank you if you really paid attention to the look on Christopher's face. When he turned around and see all of y'all there in support of him. Did you take a look at the judge's face when he looked and seen everybody? Yeah, I did. But once again, I just want to tell all of you thank you very much. And keep up the good work. The world is watching very, very closely. And whatever you guys do, just make sure that it's worth it. Everything, all the yelling, getting up in people's faces, being on the blowhorns, helping out the homeless, feeding the homeless, staying away from your own families. Just make sure that everything that you do from here on out, from this point, make sure that it is worth it. That is the only way that it is justifiable, is when it is worth it. Thank you.
All right, so we're done with the speaking and listening part of the night's entertainment. I know a lot of people are out here and are looking to march. I'm only going to say I really hope people come out to Santa Rita tonight. We're trying to get a caravan of people coming out. Many cars as we can find. If you've got one and you've got empty seats, volunteer it. Let's get out there. Let's show him so much love. Let's get so many people out there so that when he walks through those doors, he sees nothing but friendly faces and knows that we fucking love him. If you do choose to march tonight, all I'm going to say about that is try to remember that it's a long weekend. If you get grabbed tonight, you're going to be sitting in there till Tuesday. Stay safe. You know, we got to stay focused on the fight itself. We gotta talk about Alan, we gotta be talking about Chris. We gotta stay focused. Don't let this turn into, you know, your own personal silliness. Make sure that what you're doing has purpose. Make sure you're doing it 100%.
I just wanna mention on the security tip. We know that OPD has been talking about, to the news people even, they're talking about infiltration instead of the overt throwing grenades at us. So you can imagine there's probably some undercovers in here right now. And what they want is to take another person to jail. They want to use rendition-like means to pick us apart, to make us weaker, so we get depleted funds bailing people out over and over again. So that's what we talk about being careful tonight. Because you know, this has been all over Facebook. We've been handing out flyers. They have a man paid just to watch the Facebook page. They pay a man to watch the Facebook and the Twitter to see what people are doing in Occupy Oakland.
And the stream.
Look, I'm talking about the police. Fuck the police.
Okay.
I need to speak on something right fast. I didn't mean to interrupt you, brother. But when you guys are doing your thing in your encampment, I would suggest that you stay off of Twitter. If you do not want them to know where you at, stay off of Twitter. They are reporting it in the news. I seen it for myself at 6:30 in the morning with the Albany camp. They are reporting it in the news who you are when you are tweeting during while you are doing your job. So I just want to let you guys know that if you don't want them to know where you are at when you are doing things, you need to stay off of social media.
We shut down a bank by tweeting that we were going there. We know.
Okay. Now, I know. I see. I was watching the shutdown, too. Okay. All right, thank you.
That's it. No, that's it. Hey, she said it. They're sitting right over there in the undercover car. Mm-hmm. They these assholes want to just keep an eye on us. So what I'm talking about is just be careful. Watch each other's backs. You know, keep it tight. Keep it disciplined. And here's Ali.
All right,
let me just remind. On the 31st, we're going to meet here. Please, let's pack those buses. Please. Let's continue this further. On the 31st at 11 o'clock, we're going to meet right here. Okay? Just to add on, let's continue this fight. Let's remember that Chris is coming out tonight. Okay? Tomorrow is Saturday, or should we call it FTP Day. And I think we should do that when Chris is here and march for him with him. We should do it tomorrow at FTP. We should come out here and amass the majority as much as we can, just like we showed up today, and come out here tomorrow on the FTP march and go march right along with Chris and his bullhorn so he can continue to say, fuck the police.
Fuck the police!
Fuck the police!
Announcement, and we got an announcement, public service announcement. We have the Ice Cream 3 All Charges Drop Party tomorrow. It's going to be at Alameda Beach, and it's going to be from 4 to 12. We're going to be shooting a new video called Summertime Near. So everybody come out. If you want to bring some stuff out to throw on the grill, just be my guest. Come on out, though. We're going to have fun, you know. We're going to show Alameda.
It turned into a cigarette factory.
Oh, my bad.
So, yeah, we're going to have ice cream. Even if y'all think it's going to be cold, wait till y'all get there. Y'all going to see how DJ Akapai get in. Come get a slice of that Akapai. You don't like pie, get a slice of Akka cake. It don't matter. Whatever you want, you know. We're going to have fun, though. I love y'all. It's good to see y'all tonight. Everybody, since the police sitting over there, we're going to say, please be peaceful. Well, that's if y'all want to. I can't tell y'all what to do. But we're going to be peaceful and say fuck the police, and we're going to march. We're going to get this march rolling. So saddle up. Let's saddle up.